Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined by a very special guest this week, Carmen from The Adventures of Peas and Carrots. How you doing, Carmen? Pull up a stool.
I'm doing good. Thanks, Doug. How are you?
I'm doing well. How's Brian?
Brian's doing well, thank you. Gearing up for the holidays.
I've watched every one of your shows, and then I went back and watched a few more because I knew you were coming back on. I watched them again. And
oh,
you're better
you.
The second time.
That's great to hear.
No, I had some fun. Me and Brenda were watching a couple of your episodes the other day, and we were wishing we were there because, you know, I know talking about Disney gets, you know, geeks me up when I listen to all the other podcasts, but when you're watching it, it makes you want to be there.
Yes, it does. Yes, even editing and rewatching my own trips makes me want to be there.
But that's what keeps us going. That's what keeps the dream alive all year for us that don't live, you know, right next to the mouse. I mean, I live a lot further away than you, but we both get the cold weather and we both dream of Florida all the time.
That's right.
But we were watching one the other day where you were packing and getting ready to drive down. You guys
yes.
prefer to drive a lot the same way we do.
Yeah, we definitely do. Since we're only about 8.5 hours away, it's much more economical to drive. And then, as you and I have discussed, you can pack whatever you want. You can put cases of water in the car. For me, it's just a lot simpler. And then you have a car while you're there as well.
See, that's the thing with me. I love to ride with my wife, and I've said this before. It's like I get her as a captive audience for 17 hours that she has to listen to me. She has tried to jump out, but I haven't let her. But no, it's just I love my wife so much, and I just love the time that I get to spend with her. It's like me and her time.
Yeah, that's sweet. Yeah, I think I've mentioned to you, Brian is the silent type when he's driving, and so I'm mostly listening to podcasts. In fact, we always listen to you guys when we're
well,
heading down
you.
To Disney to get all excited for the trip, but we mostly listen to podcasts, but it goes by really quickly. I mean, 8.5 hours just isn't that long, really, and we don't stop a lot, so we get there pretty fast.
See, us, we break it up into 2 days. Like, we'll leave, like, just to say a day, but, like, say Thursday or Friday night after dinner. We'll wait till the dinner crowd dies down. And then we'll drive from our house, and we'll get right to Richmond. We get through Washington at nighttime. And then once that's over, we wake up the next morning, and then we have, like, about a 10 to 11-hour drive, which ain't bad if you're starting at 7 in the morning.
Right.
You know,
right.
We're there around dinner time. We get to check in, and then we'll usually relax at the resort that night. But what I enjoy about it on the way down, we usually do stop a little bit. Like, we'll stop for at least lunch and just stretch and have a nice lunch together or to have a snack. But I enjoy having – the biggest thing is I love having the car down there.
Right. Us too.
I don't know how to act without having a car.
Yeah, we definitely love being able to run to the grocery store, whatever we need, just not being – sort of quote stuck at the resort. If you need to go off and get something, you've got the option. Sometimes we never even leave, but just having that option is really nice.
Yeah, and I usually we love to enjoy the resorts to themselves besides the one we're staying at. So it's nice to drive over to, like, if my wife gets in a nice dress or something like that, and we want to go over to the Boardwalk or the Yacht and Beach Club to have dinner or go over to Geico at the Animal Kingdom Lodge. It's nice to be able to just take your car over there.
Definitely.
You know, so that's what we like to do, and I'm not used to not having it. Like, I just love the idea of hopping in the car and say, let's go over to Contemporary.
Yep.
So
yep, it's nice.
And then also, I love to play golf and all that when I can leave Brenda, because I feel guilty a lot of times. I played down there a couple times, and she tells me I don't mind. She'll just relax by the pool, read a book. Like the last time I played, we were at the Animal Kingdom. She stayed on the balcony and read and relaxed because I'm the one that drags her around the parks all the time. How is it with you and Brian? Is one more enthusiastic every trip than the other?
It's hard to say. I think we're pretty equal, but I think we sometimes prioritize things differently. We both love the parks and we both love going to the park. Like, I would say we spend the bulk of our time in the parks. We don't spend a whole lot at the resort. We're not pool people. But I'm probably more enthusiastic about some of the attractions, and he really enjoys, and I do too, walking around World Showcase, having a drink, the more leisure side of Disney, I guess you could say. Whereas without him, I might just go attraction, attraction, attraction. I love all the
He
attractions.
makes you enjoy the simple things down there.
Exactly. I think it's a good balance. We usually spend about half of the day in the morning when there's less crowded doing attractions, and then the other half of the day in World Showcase. We end almost every day in World Showcase.
You're the same as me and Brent. That's how we are. And don't get me wrong, my wife absolutely loves Disney. She's the one that got me infected with the bug. She drugged me down there kicking and screaming. I've said the story a million times. I'm an athlete. I played sports. I didn't think Disney was for me. I didn't grow up watch. I did watch The Wonderful World of Disney. I was a Herbie the Love Bug fan and the Apple Dumpling Gang. I mean, I did enjoy Disney, but it wasn't like my family never went. So she made me go, and I finally gave in and said, "Let's go." And it was a shame because now all the addiction is because of her. She introduced me to this problem. So she loves going. She wants to go every year, but she don't have to do the rides all the time. She loves Riverside's like home to her. She
That's
just
nice.
loves being at the resort. Like, so if I say to her, "Let's go back," she's ready to go. She's not crying to go back. She loves being at the parks, but she could also just go back, relax, grab a snack, and sit and watch the Sascoula River, if you follow
Right.
me.
No, that's nice.
She's just happy to be on property. She wants to be there, but she don't have to do the rides. She loves soaring and everything, but she don't have to be. Now me, I'm like, "Let's go, let's go, let's go." We're missing something. There could be something going on that nobody else will see, and I might miss it.
Yeah, see, that's more like me. I think I'm more like you, and Brian and your wife are probably similar. Although I will say he's not so much a hangout at the resort person, but like I said, he just likes the more relaxed parts of Disney, particularly World Showcase. Epcot is both of our favorite park. For me, Magic Kingdom is a super close second, whereas for him, I think Epcot's way ahead of Magic Kingdom. He just really enjoys the atmosphere a lot there. It's just a little more relaxed.
Oh, absolutely. Me and Brent both love Epcot. Like Brenda, like she wants to be at the park with me all the time, but if we say let's go back, she's ready to go relax. Like she's not the driving force behind the two of us. It's like whatever I want to do, she's cool with. She's just happy to be there. Like she'll love to go sit and watch Yeehaw Bob, go over to the piano bar, sit, she's ready to do whatever. She's very easy. That's like I drive the train. I think you do too in a way.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm the planner for sure.
But to get into a little news, speaking about the parks, did you see they're bringing back the Comedy Warehouse for a week over at in de from December 19th through Christmas? And 6 shows a day at the studios.
I did see that, and that's something I've never done because even though we've been in December, we've never been in the latter part of December, so I've never actually seen that in person.
We've seen it at Pleasure Island, but I never got the pleasure of seeing it over at the studios. I'm glad they're putting stuff in there. I mean, I seen your last trip there. You guys did Tower of Terror and all. And I liked your little comment on that. I try to say it on the show. Even if you're afraid to do the ride or you can't do it, like my wife keeps me off it now because of my back. She's afraid I'm going to hurt my back on
It's pretty gentle there. That's one of the things I like about it. It's not very jerky.
No, I don't think so either, but she's so afraid I'm going to hurt my back and ruin the trip. But you gave the tip of where you can go into it and then do the chicken exit. But at least
Right.
get the experience, 'cause I keep trying to tell Dennis to do that 'cause he's never rode it.
Oh yeah, he definitely should at least walk through. The theming for that ride, I still think, is the best of all the rides, and that's a pretty high compliment since Disney does theming so well, but the theming for that ride is just really awesome.
That's what I keep telling Dan. I said, "Sneak through. You'll feel like you're going to get in trouble," because I've done it multiple times where you'll see the cast members in their bellhop outfits all over the place, hidden in the back corners, and just go roaming around there. That's what I tell everybody, because you're missing out. I mean, because I'm one of the ones on this show where I talk about I think FastPass ruins the experience of most of the queues.
I agree because we actually recently walked through Peter Pan. We just did it at Rope Drop so we wouldn't have a long wait because we wanted to see the new interactive queue. We had never seen it because we always fast pass Peter Pan.
The
And
pictures
so I
are
agree
awesome,
with
aren't they?
you.
All the pictures through there are awesome, aren't they?
They're amazing. I thought that was a really great queue. I mean, I wouldn't wait an hour to see it, but
Nope.
to walk through in the morning, first thing in the morning, there's no one there. And so we basically just strolled through at our own pace and took everything in, and it was great. But to this day, I still haven't seen the Seven Dwarves Mine Train queue because we always fast pass that also. So someday I hope to walk through that. I've heard really good things about it.
Well, me and Bren did the first time I ever got on it because of me being a TA. I couldn't. One of the drawbacks of being a travel agent is you get your tickets at a reduced rate and you get a special from doing the test, but you have to do all your College of Knowledge program. But one of the drawbacks is you can't pick your ticket up until you get down there to show them your IATA card.
Oh, wow.
So you can't do fast passes until you get there.
That's right.
And you're being punished. And they do the same thing with the armed forces, which I think is wrong.
Yes, I agree.
I mean, you're being punished. Yeah, they're taking care of you. They give the armed forces discount tickets, and they do take care of them for resort rates and all, and I praise Disney for that. But in this day and age, there should be a way that you could show proof to be able to do your fast passes in advance. Because my sister-in-law, my wife, again, like I just explained, didn't mind. But there are some families that, with little kids and all, if you can't do the fast pass and all, it's because the whole group has to do them together.
That's right.
So you're hurting by doing that, but with us, I couldn't do fast passes when Seven Dwarfs first opened. So I love doing the queue anyway, but me and Bren went on and we extra magic hours, we did it.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And it was really good because the wait was, it said a 35-minute wait, but you know how Disney is, 35 minutes means 15, 20. So
Exactly.
they always post it longer because they don't want to disappoint. If it's early, you feel, oh good, they only took 15 minutes, so you're all happy again. So yeah, we went through it and I really enjoyed it and I'm glad I did because I have all kind of pictures and I think that, and again, this is where me and I love my wife and people think I'm geeky when I say it all the time, but I look at the queue as more time to spend time together. What we do is I break out the phone and I go over the pictures of the day. Start planning the rest of the trip. I take advantage of it, enjoy the moment that I'm in instead of worrying about what I'm not seeing. Enjoy what you are
Right.
seeing because all these queues have so many things to look at that if you're complaining that you're in it, you're not enjoying it the way you should be.
That's so true. They have so many details.
So just sit there and relax. Like I say, slow down, look around, and enjoy the view. And
That's right.
I really think that's true. But no, I to get back, see how we went on that tangent. I never got to see the Comedy Warehouse and the studios, and I'm glad they are adding it. And I think it's a nice little addition because there's so much needs to be done there until the two lands open up.
I agree. Anything they can add there right now to help with the crowds is definitely a plus. When we were there in October, we went there on supposedly the lowest attendance days for the week we were there, and the lines were huge, and that wasn't even a high crowd time of the year.
No, and there's not enough to do to control the crowds.
Right, exactly.
And did you hear that the Symphony in the Stars Galactic Spectacular Nightly Fireworks Show is to begin earlier than expected?
I did hear that, and I'm so disappointed that it ends in March. I'm hoping they'll extend it because, as I've talked to you about, we're not going back until April, and I would love to see that in person.
Yeah, I have a funny feeling this is going to be forever now.
I hope you're right. I'm afraid that they'll replace it with the Frozen Summer stuff again, but I would much rather see Star Wars, so I'm hoping that it stays Star Wars.
So you a big Star Wars fan?
I don't know if I describe myself as a big Star Wars fan, but it was the first movie I ever saw in the theater that was not a cartoon. So I was 7 when it came out, so I'm aging myself now. And so it's one of those that it was my first exposure to science fiction, and so it has a special place for me. I'm definitely not as diehard as some people, but I am a big fan of the franchise, so I'm excited to see all of this coming into the parks.
So you're kind of like in the same crowd that I am, where I love it, I like it, I respect it, I've seen every movie, but I'm not a Star Wars geek like I'm a Disney geek.
Right, I would agree with that. That's exactly how I would class myself.
I mean, I'm excited about everything they're gonna do because I just can't wait to see the Disney difference added to the Star Wars franchise.
Right, I think it's going to be great. I'm very excited about it.
I don't know. It's supposed to be pretty cool. Anything that they keep adding, every little bit that they keep adding to the studios is an enhancement to me. I can't wait for. I like that they're doing it this way because if they keep adding things as they go, I think it'll make the anticipation a little less. Like it won't kill us to have to wait 5 years for the lands to open.
Right.
So, and then speaking of that, are you going to go to the, do you have, if you were down there, would you do the dessert party?
Probably not, but I need to qualify that. As you know, I'm gluten-free, and the dessert parties I've been to, all they have is prepackaged the gluten-free items that you can get at the grocery store. And so for me, I just don't feel like it's worthwhile. I can just go and stand and enjoy whatever it is, whether it's fireworks or whatever, and not pay the exorbitant price for it. But if I was someone who ate, regular desserts, I might do it.
Oh, well, it's kind of hard. Me and Dan and shows going back and forth. We've talked about. I'm happy that they're doing all these things. I just hope it don't start to continue to infringe on everybody else's normal park times, if that makes
Right.
sense to you.
No, it does make sense. As long as it doesn't take away from everybody else, I'm all for them making more money. I have no issue with that.
No.
But yeah, you're right. As long as it's not taking away from everybody else's experience, I think it's fine.
Yeah, because the party, it starts on January 5th through March 19th, and the price is $69 per adult, $39 for children ages 3 to 9. And they actually did include the tax and gratuity card.
Yeah, so
Thanks.
that's not a bad price.
No, but it's and it's also alcohol included, and you get a free souvenir featured Chewbacca, which is pretty cool. And as long as this coincides with everybody else allowed to be in the park, I'm okay with that. I just don't like the me and Dennis talking with Christmas time going on, with the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas party. When we first started to go down, the same thing with the Halloween party was a couple days a week. Now it's almost like every day of the week.
Right.
And the point of it is okay, so now if they're going to start doing all these ticketed events, I think that they should give you Park Hopper for free with your ticket.
That's a good idea.
Because why should you, like me and you and everybody that listens to this podcast mostly, we drink the Kool-Aids, we know all the ins and outs, we figure out how to get in and out of the parks, and we know better. And you have an annual pass, and we're okay.
Right.
But if you're down there and it's the first time you're taking your family, and you go to the Magic Kingdom that day because you're not paying attention, and all of a sudden they're telling you to leave at 7 o'clock, how's that fair to you?
Right, you'd be really disappointed.
You should be able to leave and go over to Epcot or go to the studios if one of them are having extra magic hours. I mean, you shouldn't have to go home because you're not a seasoned veteran, is what my point is.
Right, and I like your point about being a seasoned veteran because I know a lot of people say, well, that's their fault for not looking at the hours or for not doing the research. But if it's your first trip to Disney and you're not, as you described, a Disney nerd, you're not really obsessed with it. You might not notice something like that, and I don't think it's that person's fault. I think that's one of those things where that first trip can be really magical or not, depending on how many of those things come up. Like our first trip to Disney, I didn't go until I was an adult either, much like yourself. And our first trip to Disney, we didn't know you had to make dining way in advance. And so we got there and couldn't get in any of the restaurants. So did that ruin my trip? No, but I can totally sympathize with people that it's their first trip because Disney's unique compared to anywhere else that you travel. Like, say you're going to Las Vegas, you don't have to make your dining months in advance.
No.
There's nowhere I can think of, even very popular destinations, that you have to plan the way you do for a Disney trip. And so if someone's not in the know, I don't feel like that's really their fault.
Well, people get overwhelmed by going to Manhattan, and Disney's twice the size of Manhattan.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And there's so much going on. Our first trip, Carm, we didn't. I ain't. I'm happy to admit it. I didn't like Epcot. But the reason being is because we were in such a hurry, I didn't get to like we didn't unpeel the onion, if you understand what I'm saying.
Right, I
We
do.
missed out on so many things because we didn't know where everything was. We were like, my wife knew the Magic Kingdom, but that was always open. She went in 75 and 76. That's the only part that was there.
Right.
So she knew her way around there, but everywhere else. And my favorite park, the very first time I went in 97, was the studios. It shows you how bad, and that's when the backlot tour, everything was open, everything was working. I loved the studios. That's when they even had, remember the Tim Allen where you played a part in the show?
That was actually before I started going to Disney. I was in my 30s before I went to Disney for the first time.
Okay, yeah, and I was in my late 20s, and they had Tim the Toolman Tower, the light studio where you went in, and Lucy and the conveyor belt, and they had fans doing it and sound. Everything was open and running to full degree, and we liked the
Nice.
studios. And the thing was, is studios is a lot like the Magic Kingdom, the way it's designed and set up. So it's easy to see things, everything's blinking in the neon lights, and I think that's one of the problems people also have with the Animal Kingdom. The Animal Kingdom in Epcot, if you don't go explore, you're not going to find a lot of the things. Most
I
people don't
agree.
know there's three things going on inside the land.
Right.
They just see cement buildings and you see interventions. You don't know what you're lost. You really don't know what's going in. It's like you're dropped in a futuristic city and you don't know have any directions.
Right, and they don't have that traditional spoke design that Magic Kingdom has and that most theme parks have imitated, you know, where you have sort of a central hub and then everything spokes off of that.
Yeah, I mean, the Animal Kingdom does with the Tree of Life, but the way the foliage is and everything goes on, you got to seek out everything. And I think so, when people
Right.
say it's a half day park, and then I'll go to them, did you see Flights of Wonder? Did you go back to the conservation state? What's that? I mean, half the things they didn't even know were in the park.
Right.
And I know you get your guide map, but face it, how many people really use the guide map all
Right,
the
right.
time? I bring
Well,
them
and
home for
even then, you don't
souvenirs.
know what you're seeing. You know what I mean? You might read that there's an attraction over here or something to see over here, but if you don't know much about it, you might still not go over and explore.
You're 100% right. So, but it's so when people are going for their first time, it's so overwhelming. You got so many things to do and see. Like anybody on a 1 week vacation, I dare anybody on a 2 week vacation that they could actually see everything that there's possibly to see in 2 weeks. I've been there 40 times. I can't even count how many times you've been. I don't know,
I don't know anymore.
exactly. But how many things there's so many things still on your bucket list that you haven't done or seen. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. You're definitely right. In fact, I didn't get to see the art of animation where you could go in and actually draw with an animator. I never got to do that. I wanted to, but we never got around to it, and then they closed it, which makes me sad.
Oh, it should. It's one of my wife's favorite things. The last time on our trip, because she loves to draw, it was like, well, I just sat there. I drew my Winnie the Pooh. I can't even say that. They're stuttering over here like Daffy Duck. But I drew my Winnie the Pooh. But as I'm drawing it, I'm watching my wife. And I don't know if you ever do this with Brian. Is there something that he does that he enjoys so much you could just sit there and watch him do it and you enjoy it?
Yes,
I'm
yes.
watching my wife draw, and I'm just so the joy is just coming out of me just watching her be. Because my wife's like a worrisome person. Like she worries about everything, everybody. She's always going, if that makes sense to you.
Yep.
And it's so wonderful when she's sitting there drawing. She's not in the moment as much as she should be. And when she's sitting there drawing, she was so relaxed and so at peace. It was so warming to me to watch her do that.
That's great.
And that's one of the things I'm really going to miss about that, because it's just seeing her the happiness with my wife.
Yep. Yeah, I hate I didn't get to do that. And you're right, there's other things I still haven't done that I want to do. So, yeah, I don't even see how you could possibly do everything in 2 weeks because we usually go for 8 to 10 days when we go, and we still don't do everything every trip.
No, you always feel like you're missing stuff. Oh, I'll go back to that, and you never get back to it because it's never ending. Now,
Yep.
speaking of the animation, are you excited about the new Star Wars launch bay over there?
Yes and no. I'm definitely glad to see something that's going to draw a lot more people, and that definitely will. I think
Oh.
those meet and greets are going to help with the line situation for the other attractions, so I'm happy about that. And it's nice to see something new. As I mentioned, I'm a little sad they took the animation away, so I'm hoping they'll put that back somewhere else eventually, maybe.
Oh, from your
But
lips to
yeah, I
God's ears,
definitely.
Carmen.
What's that?
From your lips to God's ears on that one.
But no, I'm excited to see it, and I know the really hardcore Star Wars fans have to be thrilled. And I'll probably eventually do the meet and greets. And I saw that they have a, or they're going to have a Disney Visa Imperial meet and greet. And we do have a Disney Visa, so we'll probably do that. And we'll definitely check things out. My husband is a movie buff in general. Brian, he loves all movies, I think. I don't think there's a movie he doesn't like. And he's very into the behind the scenes stuff. So I think he'll really enjoy the props. and the costume replicas and that kind of thing. So I'm sure we'll spend some time in there. How about you?
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. It kind of reminds me of Star Wars version of One Man's Dream from everything I've read and seen about it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I would agree with that.
It's a little bit, not it's a knockoff, but they went by, I think, the same game plan. Because I honestly believe they tried to make this as nice as could be, knowing that it's not going to be there forever.
Right, right.
Because, you know,
it's
all
like
the
holdover.
Yeah, because all the Star Wars, like, what shocked me was is they even put it here because I think it's on the opposite side of the park where Star Wars is going.
Right,
you,
you're right.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm pretty sure they're building Star Wars Land around Star Tours.
Exactly.
That would make sense.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I agree with you. I think it's on the opposite side.
And Toy Story Land's going to go over where this is. So that's
right.
What threw me to begin with. But when I seen it all, I think they did a really good job for something that's going to be basically temporary for two or three years.
Right. I agree with you. I think that's exactly what it's for. It's to help alleviate the crowds, promote the movie, give people something to do while they're building the actual attractions.
Yeah, it's a place to keep because, you know, you walk through, you see the movie props, kind of like One Man's Dream. There's pictures on the wall. There's different cars and ride vehicles from this show, different props. Then you got your meet and greets. It is cool. I would like to meet Darth Vader.
Yeah, I would too. I'll definitely do the meet and greets. I think that would be fun. And even the Jawas they have walking around in the main area, I'd love to get a picture with them. And there's not even lines for those. So I'm hoping they keep them out and that wasn't just a sort of opening week thing. I hope those stay.
No, and I'm not being gender biased here because I know little girls love the whole Star Wars franchise too. But it is nice that there's more stuff going on for young boys.
No, I agree. I think Disney, you know, I know they've done the Pirates angle, but I think they've always catered more to little girls than to little boys. So I think this is great. I think it's a really good balance.
Yeah,
I agree with you. I know there's a lot of girls, myself included, when I was a kid, that are Star Wars fans. But I do agree. It's something that boys can definitely enjoy, whereas boys are not really going to get into princesses most of the time. Maybe
no. Sometimes,
but, you know, not the way little girls do. So.
No, and if they do, let them enjoy. It's just the point of, I think, with adding Star Wars and Marvel, I'm excited about it because I think it evens out the balance.
Exactly.
So
it's more options.
Absolutely. It gives enough for the, if you have a boy and a girl, it gives them both something to do where, you know, you have Pirates League and then you have Bippity Boppity Boutique, which I think is a great thing.
Yep. Yeah, I do too. I really agree with that. I think that anything they can add to make it appeal to more people, both genders, all ages, is a good thing. And this is definitely something I think that sort of has a universal appeal. Because I think even people who aren't huge Star Wars fans, everyone has seen at least one of the movies and recognizes Darth Vader and Chewbacca and maybe even the Jawas. So I think it's just going to attract a lot of people over there. I mean, just based on the initial wait times for the meet and greets, it's already bringing a lot of people over there.
Oh, absolutely. Like all the Jedi training and all that stuff. That's a lot of fun. And know what I like about it? It's kind of like because I'm a big NFL fan and I love what the NFL does with that Play 60, get kids out to play for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great thing. I think the Jedi training is really good because it gets the kids active.
Yep, I agree.
You know,
and they get to be the star of the show for a little while, which I think most kids really enjoy.
Absolutely. It'd be a little bit of a showman. And then also it gets some of their energy out. Let them burn some of that excess energy. Because that's why I always say, because I mean, me and Bren don't have kids, everybody knows, but I've taken my godchildren down multiple times and all. And friends of mine, we've gone with kids and all. And I've always never understood why they have the playgrounds at the parks. And then I finally realized it's to let the kids be kids. Let them let them spew out all that extra energy that they have built up. Because even though the rides are awesome, they are still mostly standing and sitting.
Yes.
They're not being
true.
As active as they should be.
Right. You're right.
So it's a good thing with all. I like anything like the Wide World of Sports. I like anything that promotes kids getting exercise.
Yeah, that's great.
So then I'll get off my soapbox now. But I don't know. But I guess it's not speaking out of turn to say Brian really loves the Great Movie Ride.
Oh, absolutely. He loves the Great Movie Ride, and I actually do, too. We both like it a lot.
So, did he like the upgrades?
we had a vlog where we gave our review. I think it came out recently, or it's about to come out. I can't remember, but we sort of have mixed feelings about it. We don't think it's terrible, and we love the pre and post show. Those are definitely an upgrade, no doubt about it. Osborne's narration during the ride I find a bit awkward. It feels like he's competing with the live cast member little bit, and also he's sort of taken away some of their lines. And to me, what made that ride somewhat unique and fun was when you get a really great cast member who's really into the role, that just makes that ride. And so I think we have mixed feelings, and Brian's concern, which he mentioned on our vlog, is that they're going to push the cast members out altogether, like they did on Living with the Land. I really hope they don't do that, but they could definitely go that direction.
Well, you know, that's why I wanted you to bring it up, because I seen what you were talking about, so I wanted to you express your feelings. Believe me, you know, and I hope nobody steals it from me, but I want to make T-shirts up for the show that says, "Bring back the Skippers, Living with the Land."
Yep.
Because I like the interaction between, if you were on there and you wanted to ask a question, it was nice that they could answer it for you.
Exactly.
It made it so more personable, where now I still like it because I'm a Disney geek, and that's one of the first things we did at Epcot. You know,
right.
When we took it in, and my wife, this is how bad that I was fooled when I went there the first time. Know how you originally went to Living with the Land and all the balloons were there in the middle? Mm-hmm.
No, I don't remember that.
Okay, when you went there was like all these balloons, like they were, it looked like balloons. They were floating on the roof, but they were all designed. They looked like hot air balloons.
Oh, yeah, they still have hot air balloons in Living with the Land.
Yeah,
I mean, the Land Pavilion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Know how they had the balloons and all, but it was the first time I went in there, so I'm saying it's the first time I ever seen them. And know how it's sponsored by Nestle?
Yes.
Well, me and my wife are walking in, and she's telling me they're actually chocolate. And I'm believing her because it's Disney. That's that's how gullible I am. She's going, "Honey, do you know they're all wrapped, and they're big chocolate?" Well, I'm like, "Really?" Because, I'm at Disney, and I'm seeing all this stuff that I can't believe. And, how could you – honestly, though, even though I was a little skeptical, how could you actually say no being at Disney World? But, yeah, she had me believing for a couple split seconds that they were real chocolate inside the wrappers and the hot air balloons in there. But that was one of the first things we went on. And I remember actually riding through there a few times over the years and having, when there was lab technicians inside. You know how you'll go by and you'll see them working in there?
Yes.
Well, we had the guy or the woman that was on the boat, and she would actually tell us what they were doing then.
Oh, now, see, that's neat. Yeah, it'd be nice to have that interaction again.
Exactly. Now it's robotic. It's the storms came up, and then you see the restaurant and the prairie, the wind blowing. It's like it's so – I mean, if you've never seen it the original way, I guess it's okay. But if you've already been on it before and had a cast member do it, it's so sad without it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think anything's better with a live person.
Absolutely, because anything can go. I mean, I've had on the Great Movie Ride in the Jungle Cruise, the skipper and the narrator on the Great Movie Ride laughing. You know, they're smirking because somebody said something. It's just the human aspect is so much better, like you said.
Well, that same vlog where we were doing the review, we had a fantastic cast member, and he even scared someone that was sitting there texting on their phone. And he's like, "What are you doing?" and they laughed. I mean, they thought it was funny. It's just having that living, breathing person that can be dynamic and improvise that makes each ride unique and keeps it from getting stale.
Absolutely.
And don't get me wrong, I still love Living with the Land, but it would be better with a live person.
Yeah, if there was something going on in the room or when you go by, or they're growing something different. And I've seen things growing there where they don't even mention it.
Yep.
And I remember people joking, when you go through the fish area, one of the cast members joking, "Don't grab a crocodile or an alligator." You know what I'm saying? Just kidding around. And you laugh and a giggle. It's just so much better. I wish they would bring back the skippers over there.
Yeah, I do too.
So the good thing, though, about the Great Movie Ride is, isn't the appearance down Hollywood Boulevard so much better now?
So much better. Although I will say the hat was better when they have that stage up because you could at least still see the hat. Now when they put the stage up, like the Frozen Summer Fun one, for example, you cannot see the theater at all, which is really sad. It's just not quite tall enough, to overtake whatever stage they put in front of it. But when the stage is not there, it's by far a better view.
Absolutely, and I'm so glad that they brought it back to its beauty. I mean, it was getting long in the tooth there for a while. It's so nice that they refreshed everything on it. It looks beautiful now, doesn't it?
It does look beautiful.
What did you think about my idea for putting a hat out as a gift shop as you're entering the park?
I think it's a great idea. Put it out near the parking lot, that'd be great.
Exactly. Like, know how you have that store where you go into the Animal Kingdom? On the
Exactly.
left-hand side there, where you can
Yep.
go in and buy sundries and stuff like that, and a sunblock and a hat, because we bought my dad's safari hat there. So I mean, that's one. I think that would look so good. It would fit in with everything too out there.
I totally agree. I think it'd look great, and that'd be the first thing you see when you get to the park.
Exactly. I mean, it's a shame. I mean, I know being in construction, dismantling it probably did damage to it,
Right.
but I wish they. I know Disney has it in the budget to recreate it.
Yeah, that would be nice, but I don't see it coming back. I could be wrong, but I don't think it's coming back.
Nah, me neither. I don't think so either. But we can always hope and dream, right?
That's right.
So are you a big Animal Kingdom fan?
No, I wouldn't say I am. And don't get me wrong, I do enjoy it and I do appreciate it. And you'll probably get a kick out of one of our vlogs coming up because we do Animal Kingdom in an hour. But it's because we were doing four parks in one day that
Okay.
day.
I'll give you a pass.
Yeah, so it was intentionally quick. But when we went back in October, and those vlogs aren't out yet, we spent most of a full day at Animal Kingdom because we took in all of the walking trails. I love the walking trails with the animals. I actually like them better than the safari ride. The safari ride's fun, but you see a lot more animals on the walking trails, and you can stay there as long as you want and enjoy them instead of moving along the entire time.
I love the silverback gorillas.
Yes, me too. And they had babies when we were there, so that was really neat to see. So yeah, we enjoy Animal Kingdom. It's definitely not my favorite park, but we go every trip. I mean, it's not something I would ever consider skipping.
Well, you know how much I love it. The reason I was bringing it up because they announced, I mean, it's I announced it on another show, but I'm excited about it. The Tiffin's restaurant. I'm
Yes,
glad that
I'm
they're.
excited about that too.
I mean, it's over by Pete Safari. I'm waiting for it because you can see the structure now. It's getting close to being complete, but they haven't announced anything about the menu yet. So I'm pretty excited about what the menu is actually going to be. Do you...
I'm really excited about it for a couple of reasons. One, it needs more restaurants. We
Absolutely.
usually go to Boma. We actually leave, go to Boma, and go back to Animal Kingdom because we like Boma better than the other restaurants there. So I'm excited to see a new offering. And also, it does not sound like it's going to have characters, which for us is a good thing because since we don't have children either, and we love the characters, don't get me wrong, but I don't want them while I'm eating.
No.
I don't know a better way to describe that, but when I'm eating, I just like to eat in peace. And then if I want to do a character meet and greet, I'd rather do that separately. And so Tusker House used to, you could go at lunch and there weren't characters, but then they added characters. So I'm actually excited to see another restaurant there besides the Yak and the Yeti that doesn't have characters.
Yeah, well, I agree with you wholeheartedly, and we stay away from the characters too. Every once in a while, we'll do something to do a breakfast, just because. And I've talked about me overeating at a breakfast buffet. It's not my fun. I get robbed on it. But everyone, you just do it because you want to have something different during the trip. But
Right.
I wish they would have a couple adult-oriented breakfast buffets.
No, I agree with you. And also, I'm sure you're well aware, all of the character buffets cost a lot more than just a normal sit-down meal without the characters. They all seem to be about $10 more per person than comparable buffets that do not have characters, like Boma is a good example.
Exactly, or just to have, I mean, I kind of misquoted myself a little bit too, is I would like to have a place where I could just actually go have sit down and order breakfast and eat it without
Right, just a
everything
sit
seems like
down.
it's a character or a buffet. Wouldn't it be nice to just go to Hollywood Brown Derby and have a nice breakfast?
Right, just get waited on. Yep.
Yes, two eggs, sunny side up. Where do you find that at Disney World?
Yeah. Someone was telling me the Captain's Grill at the Yacht Club has a nice sit down breakfast. They may have a buffet too, but I think that you can order a la carte. And I think also the same with the Wave. I think they offer a buffet, but you can also order a la carte.
Exactly.
For breakfast, and we haven't tried either of those, but they're sort of on my list of potentials for breakfast.
Absolutely. Like, I would love to go, and I wish there was more opportunities like that. Like, everything is like, I go down and we eat breakfast out of necessity because you got to start the day fueled at Disney World. You can't go out anywhere on an empty stomach. You'll pass
Right.
out. So me and Brenda will usually split a bounty platter. I'll go get
Yeah,
one
that's
of
a good
them, and
idea.
we split it. And what I do is to expedite the trip so I'm not rushing my baby. I get up early. I let her take her time and get ready. I go down to the food court because I take it. It's called my morning stroll. The reason why I work all year is to enjoy the landscape of Riverside. I love to
It
get
is a
up.
beautiful resort.
I love to get up at like 6:30 in the morning. Not up. I'm up before that, but I leave the room around 6:30. I'm already showered. I leave the entire bathroom to my honey pie. I head down to. I take a beautiful stroll. I usually take the longest route because you've heard the show before. I like to be as far away from the food court as possible.
Yes,
And I
yes.
think everybody should do that. I just interviewed John Peters last night. He was live at Saratoga, and he was saying he got quite a far away. They got far away. He actually decorated his room with Christmas lights for
Oh,
everybody,
neat.
which was fun. But he's far away, and I said and he was saying that he wouldn't have got to enjoy the resort the way he normally was if he wasn't there. He didn't think about that because he was disappointed because he wanted to be closer. He wanted to be where Dennis always stays, Centennial Park. I can't think of the name of it right now, but it's more towards the center of the resort and more towards over towards Disney Springs. I'll remember it after we're done this. But he got put on the far other side, and he was disappointed at first. He said the view was beautiful, but he was a little disappointed. But then after he got in there, and we talked last night, he goes, "You're right." Because of being where he was, him and his wife were walking through the resort to go to Disney Springs. They seen things there they never would have seen before.
That's right. We
And
always request the further buildings, not just for the
it's
enjoying the
quieter.
resort, but also it's quieter, exactly. It's
Yep.
much quieter.
Nope, most people don't drag. They don't want to have their kids to have to drag them all the way back to the
That's
food
right.
court.
Yep. So it's much quieter. And like you said, you do take in the details because at our September trip, we were at Pop and we got to take in, the 80s, the 90s, because every time we went back to
Rubik's
our room,
Cube,
we had to
baby.
walk through both of them. And so it was a lot of fun, to get to take in all those details because for some reason, we're usually in the 50s or the 70s. So that was our first time ever staying in the 90s. And so we really got to take in a whole nother side of the resort and enjoyed that.
And I loved the laptop. I seen the laptop you guys
Yes.
had there. It was really neat. I mean, and it's fun, and we've stayed there, and I love seeing all the different stuff. It's like if you're right next to, like if you're at Riverside and you're at building, I think it's building 8, you're like right next door to the main, or you're right there by the wheel. Because we
Right.
stayed there with my father because that's when his back went out. So I made us close to it. And my wife would, we she, I would leave, and I would leave to go get food. She goes, "Why are you going left?" I said, "Oh, you just get ready." I would go left and walk all the way around and come back around Muddy Rivers, and I would take a half hour walk before I went to the food court, because I want to see it. But because if you're right there, you wouldn't see anything but the wheel and the main. You wouldn't see the rest of the buildings and all the other landscaping and the little hidden Mickeys that are throughout that resort. And you look down in the concrete and you see the impressions of the pine needles and stuff like that. That's the Disney difference. That's why you're paying to go there.
That's right, for
So.
all those details.
Exactly, just like you were just saying over at Pop Century. I think Pop Century is a great resort for what you pay for.
Yep, it really is. It's a great value because to me, it's one of the most heavily themed in a Disney style, other than maybe Art of Animation. You get, so much memorabilia from all the decades, but a lot of Disney memorabilia. Like, I love the giant Mickey phone, which I think is in either the 70s or the 80s, because I had one of those as a kid. I wish I still had it. I do not. I didn't keep it,
I
but
heard you saying it would be probably worth something now.
exactly. I wish I had kept that phone. But, once the sort of old style phones went out, because it actually had the rotary, dial on it. Then we got rid of all those phones. So sadly, I do not have it. But yeah, that is so neat to see those things. And you're like, oh, I remember that when I was a kid. I remember having that or seeing that.
It just brings up. That's again the same thing I was talking about with the queue. All these things is what brings up family conversations.
Right.
It brings back. It might jar a memory that you never thought of that you could share with Brian.
And nostalgia is a powerful thing. I think that's what Disney does right, is they build upon your older memories, but they also build new memories. Like if you and I don't have children, but if you do, your children are getting new memories that they'll be nostalgic about when they get older and want to go back to Disney. And I think that's one of the things Disney does best.
Exactly, and that's why I'm glad they keep adding to the franchises with the Star Wars and they're bringing in Toy Story Land and Marvel. I can't wait for Marvel to actually show up somewhere in the parks. Like, it's amazing that nothing has been announced at all about anything Marvel.
Well, I think it's because Universal isn't giving up their rights to those Marvel characters.
But there's so many other things, like they could do, which gets on my nerves, but I do like it. Do you guys watch Once Upon a Time?
Brian does religiously. I do not. I
Okay,
tried
see.
to watch it when it first came out and I couldn't get into it. And everybody thinks that's cool of Disney, so I still haven't seen it.
See, that's why I get into it, because I love Disney so much. So I started watching it because, and it was nice because I said to my wife, and I've said to B, I was on with B, Mike would be our guest, and he said, "That's pretty cool, Doug. I never thought about it." If you watch the show, they actually showed the Seven Dwarfs with Snow White, and they were down in the mines looking for pixie dust. And if you look at that, I was telling everybody that was actually an infomercial for the Seven Dwarfs mine train.
That's right.
And it actually ended up being my Dennis even went to me, "Doug, you were right about that." I said, when I as soon as I seen it, I said, "There, this is them advertising the train."
Yep.
But the thing that aggravates me with the show is, not to go on a, this is the critic report, but it's like, let them be happy one week. It's like every week they're in disaster. It's like, I don't want to be Once Upon a Time anymore. It's Once Upon a Crime, the show. Every week it's dark, dark, dark. It's like, when it started off, there was a week or two of some nice stuff. But
Right.
every single week, every one of these people are in Horrorville. And yes, mention that to Brian for me and see what he says about
I
that.
will. I will. I'll mention it to him.
It's like
I think he kind of likes darker stuff, though, so maybe that's why he enjoys the show.
but I enjoy it too to an extent, Carm, but I would like them to just have one week where they just have fun. It's like my brother used to watch it, and I don't want to go on this, but it was a show called Sons of Anarchy about a motorcycle gang. It's like they never had fun; they just hurt each other every week. It's like, what's the point of being in this gang if there's no fun? You're just hurting people. And it's the same thing with this. It's like, I don't understand, like, why Emma and them just don't go out and play football and have a good day and have dinner together and have a family reunion where everybody's happy and not somebody's getting the dark side coming to get them every single week. One's dying, needs a potion. It's like, let them be happy for one show. So, there's my weekly tangent on Once Upon a Time.
Your review of Once Upon a Time.
Yes. But anyway, going back to Tiffin's, I'm excited about it too. Do you not like the Yak and Yeti?
We actually haven't eaten there. We
Oh.
need to.
You
We haven't tried it yet.
very much need to. Dennis did on his last trip. It's one of my favorite restaurants.
Yeah, I always hear you talk about the fried wontons.
Yes, I would drive there right now if Brenda would let me, just to get them and come home. I grab
Yeah,
some
I think.
bangers and mash, and I would grab that for dessert, and I would drive home. I'd be happy.
Yeah, the only reason we haven't tried it yet is because we love Boma so much. I think that's really the only reason. So if we know we're going to Animal Kingdom for the day, we always book Boma for that day because we love it. But we're definitely going to have to try it sometime.
Well, maybe what you do is you go there, you have an early lunch, and then have a late dinner at Boma.
Ooh, I'd be really full.
Well, if you did it like a 7 or 8 o'clock dinner at Boma and enjoy the Animal Kingdom and then go out in the Animal Kingdom Lodge and go out and sit by the fire.
Well, and I have to say, I'm excited that they're going to start having evening entertainment at Animal Kingdom, which means the park will be open later because then it will be easier to have, like you said, a late dinner at Boma and still go back to the kingdom and enjoy the evening entertainment.
Okay. Yeah, I think you would really the great thing about the Yak and Yeti is it's such an extensive menu. Like, I've even told the story many times on here how my wife like totally shocked the heck out of me because she never ordered them out with me before. All of a sudden she ordered the ribs. She was in mood for the ribs. I'm like, where did this come from? You never order ribs. Is there something you're not telling me? You're craving ribs? I don't know what's going on here. But and it was shocking because it's Asian. It's more Asian the menu is, but they do have Kobe beef burgers and hamburger. They have something for everybody. But the food, the Chinese the version of the food is very, very awesome. But I didn't expect the ribs to be that good, and it was incredible. They were some of the
Wow.
best ribs I ever had. They fell off the bone.
And see, I like ribs, so I would probably really enjoy that.
Yeah, you would. It was a really, really good. And any of the, do you guys like Chinese food?
We're not huge on Chinese food, which
We're
may
like
be
once
another
a
reason that
month,
we
once
haven't
every
gone
other
there.
month.
What's
But
that?
so we're like once a month, maybe once every couple months, we'll have it. So we're not crazy. We're not nuts about it either. But here, you can taste the freshness. It's so good. Do you like mahi-mahi? Do you like fish?
Oh, I love mahi-mahi, and so does Brian.
They have an incredible mahi-mahi there.
We'll definitely have to check it out sometime.
And then you can call me up and yell at me if it's
I doubt
bad.
we'd be yelling at you. I have
No,
yet to have a terrible meal at Disney.
I think you'd really enjoy it. And the atmosphere is beautiful. What the whole thing is, it was a he started a little post there, and well, he started a little outpost. It was supposed to be to store supplies for the Yeti for climbing Everest, this hotel.
Ah,
And then
I've
what
seen
happened?
videos of the inside. It's a beautiful restaurant.
And if you look at it, it's hodgepodge bagage. Like every room is different. And the reason it's like that way, it's like he started this little outpost for people to buy supplies and stuff, and then they wanted a place to stay and eat. So he just kept adding rooms and rooms and rooms to the inn. And that's why you walk between all the rooms, and every one has different decor and different tile on the floor. Like you'll go
That's
from
neat.
tile for one design to another.
Yeah, that's really neat. Again, that attention to detail.
Exactly, and that's why we love it. And it was we the one year the way we found the Rontons was the first time we had free dining. So me and Brenda are not big dessert fans because we don't eat a lot. We don't usually, I believe in eating your meal then have a snack later. So, but we got the free dining and had the dessert. So I got the wontons and she got the mango pie. It was so good. We booked another reservation there that day to go back
Wow.
again during the week to eat there again, just so we get the wontons and the mango pie. Because I don't know if you heard the story I told that when my dog that was 18 years old, she passed away, I
Oh.
called down there and tried to get the mango pie shipped home.
Oh.
And the guy felt so bad he couldn't do it because of the way it's distributed. They didn't have a way to keep it cool. But he's offering me t-shirts for free and a hat. The manager of the place, he gave me his card and he said, next time you come in, I'll take care of you.
Oh,
Which I said
nice.
hi to him and all. Because he felt bad that he couldn't send me the pie. And I said, listen, I wanted to pay for it. He goes, I ain't asking for any. He goes, let me send you hats or shirts or something. I feel so bad. It's so nice what you're doing. I said, no, I don't want anything. I just appreciate you feeling bad. I was just trying to do something nice.
Yeah, that's really nice.
But that's how good this mango pie and these wontons are. Dennis loved them. So you will
Yeah,
have them.
you're definitely making me want to try this place. We'll have to check it out.
The Yak and Yeti and the Rose and Crown should actually give me free dining every time I go to either one of them, as much as I give them the advertisement on the
Advertise for
shows.
them. We finally ate at the Rose and Crown last November. That was our first time eating there, and we really enjoyed it, both of us.
Did either of you have the bangers?
No, Brian's a pescatarian, meaning he only
Okay.
eats fish. He doesn't eat other meat, so
Okay.
he would not order that. And I had the shepherd's pie. That was that day it was 47 degrees
Oh,
outside.
gorgeous.
And so
It is
a
a
shepherd's
gorgeous out.
pie sounded nice and warm and something sort of comfort food.
It's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, it was wonderful. Both of us loved our food. He got the fish and chips and he loved that as well.
The thing I love about the restaurant is it's not expensive either.
No, it really isn't.
I mean, on the scale, I mean, people complain how expensive Disney is, and it's like I would spend more than that going to the Olive Garden. And I
Right,
don't know if my food's going to be good or not.
and we even got an appetizer there, which we normally don't do. We got their cheese plate, and it was also fantastic. And our bill still wasn't that high, even with
A
two
couple drink,
entrees and
a
an
couple drinks,
appetizer.
and probably had a couple drinks.
I don't remember if we drank anything or not. We may have, I don't remember. He may have gotten a beer. I don't think I
No.
had anything to drink, but it still wasn't bad at all.
No, it's a fantastic deal there, and the Yak and Yeti prices are the same. So, but you leave the Animal Kingdom, have you at least done the Flights of Wonder? Do you enjoy that?
Oh, I love the Flights of Wonder. And the last time we were there, it was closed. So it's on my list for April, because that's one of my favorite shows at Disney. I love it.
Doesn't the eagle, I say it all the time on the show, isn't he like Regal and Mr. Joe Cool?
Definitely.
He's like the
Definitely
coolest.
Regal.
He's like the coolest thing on the entire property. He's like, I know, I am it. Look at me. And that's what I love about him. He's just the most regal thing. He's like he makes you proud to be American. You want to stand up and salute when the eagle comes out.
Yes, it's a great, great program. It's just very entertaining and educational. It's sort of the best balance between both.
Okay. So what I'm going to do to kind of wind us down here, I want to have some fun, ask you some questions to see, to let our listeners know what your and Brian's favorites are.
Oh
So
boy.
if I have to, and just do it off the cuff, that's what we do here at the bar. I had it at the pub. I just ordered us another round, so this way you'll be a little easier to give out all your answers. You won't feel bad.
All right.
But anyway, go-to restaurant. What's your favorite restaurant, favorite meal on property?
That would be BOMA, which I've already mentioned.
What's your favorite thing there? There
Wow,
has to be
that's
something that
tough.
draws you back with that buffet.
Honestly, I think it's the variety. Because I don't eat the same thing every time. They have such a huge variety of both sort of African inspired, Middle Eastern inspired, and then regular American options. It's just such a good variety. And I do love the roasted vegetables. They have roasted asparagus and roasted tomatoes on their brunch buffet. And that's just not something you see everywhere. They're fire roasted. They just have a lot of great, unique offerings. They also have really great hummus, and chips that come with that on the evening buffet. So just a lot of variety.
Now, have you ever ventured over to GECO?
We went there one time. We don't do a lot of signature dining just because of the price tag, but we did go there once and we thoroughly enjoyed it. It was great.
It like me and Brent's the same way. Like it's that's an experience, GECO.
It
Like
really is.
we'll do like maybe one restaurant like that a trip. Like our go-to place for a lot of years is either Le Cellier. Before it went double, and it's going crazy the way it has now. And we love eating at the Hollywood Brown Derby, which I seen you guys ate outside on your last trip. How did you like that?
That's actually one of the best kept secrets. It's
Yeah,
not the vacation
don't
club.
tell
It's
anybody.
eating out at the lounge outside at the Brown Derby. The prices are almost half what they are
I seen
inside.
you had $10 for a salad.
Right, it was $9 for that salad. And yes, the portion size is smaller, but even Brian said that was plenty of food for him, and he's a tall guy. So we were both really thrilled. I think that's probably the only way we're going to eat at Brown Derby from now on, because we've eaten inside as well. Back in April, we went inside and I got the same salad and it was $16. And yes, it was bigger, but it was more than I could eat.
Exactly.
So I really love sitting outside. Plus, it's a great people
The
watching
atmosphere.
place. Yep, it's a
I mean,
great atmosphere.
well, we had my mother-in-law's 75th birthday party in there because that's where she wanted to go. She loves that restaurant. It reminds her of her golden day, you know, and that's what
Right.
we loved about it. It's like the atmosphere inside is beautiful. You feel special when they take you in.
It's great. I love it. Yeah, it's a beautiful restaurant.
And I've had the steak there a couple times. It's out of the world. I've had the mahi mahi there, which is incredible. Every once in a while, they'll have a special there. That's what I like about that restaurant. Where a lot of restaurants on property, it's one of the things me and Den used to talk about, that they're narrowing down the options in some ways, which annoys us. We wish more restaurants would have specials,
Yeah, and
especially the signatures.
they're doing the same thing for people who have food allergies or intolerances. Used to, you could order anything on the menu and they would modify it and make it, for example, gluten-free.
Exactly.
Now they're handing us a predetermined menu that might have four or five items that they can make gluten-free and that's it.
Okay.
And you can still ask for the chef and a lot of times they'll still accommodate you if you want something else.
But
So
they're starting to
there's
make
a
you feel like
tip.
a real bother
But
for doing it.
right, they're basically, I don't know if they're, I would say they're making you feel like a bother, but I mean, if you didn't know to ask for the chef, you'd think, oh, I've only got these four choices. And what if those aren't the four things that you want? You know, so I know exactly what you're saying. They're definitely not having as much variety as they used to.
Exactly. What I was trying to say is with those four, not that they're feeling like the chef, you're bothering him, but they're trying to make you so you don't even think to do that.
Right,
Like this is what they
exactly.
change it to. Even for seasoned veterans like ourselves, now that they're handing me this means I can't ask for the chef. But you were
Right.
smart enough to say I'm going to ask for him anyway.
Right. Well, you know, you have your favorites, and you know, I've been gluten-free for a long time, so I have favorites that I knew they could make gluten-free, so it was having that previous knowledge, you know, caused me to ask for the chef. But yeah, if someone was coming there for their first time, they probably think that was their only option.
Absolutely, and it's good to let people know that because you know you're paying a lot of money to go there and you want to enjoy yourself and you should be able to eat like everybody else.
Right.
Now, your favorite counter service restaurant?
Ooh. Sunshine Seasons
Sunshine
at
Seasons?
Epcot in the Land.
Well,
There's a couple of reasons for it. Again, the variety, huge variety of food.
it's one of the
And
only places I would ever have counter service salmon.
yes, and it's very good
It's awesome.
salmon. Yeah, they have that cedar plank salmon. It's
It's
really
good.
great. That's what I like about it. The food, all the food in the section that's to the far right where your salmon is gluten-free. That whole everything in that whole section. And so I can just walk up and grab something and go. I don't have to wait for a manager. I don't have to stand there for 15 minutes waiting on my food. And then all of it to me is restaurant quality instead of quick service quality. It's more like table service.
It's incredible in there. Me and my wife, what we love to do to help say like, because we're not big eaters, either one of us, but we love to eat, if that makes sense. We're
No, it
foodies.
does. Yep.
But we like to share things throughout the day. So this way we get to try more things. And I'm one of these guys, and I think touch on wood is why I stayed in decent shape, is because I've always thought I could eat again. So I don't like to be total full. I'd rather eat 6 or 7 times during the day than sit down and stuff myself with one meal. The way I do it is we'll split the Bounty platter, and then an hour or two later, I'll take her to Starbucks. We get to the parks and get her morning iced coffee or whatever, and we might split a muffin or something just to have a little snack. Or and then at lunchtime, we'll each order something and share, and then we'll have another snack and then have dinner. And it like this way, you're burning the energy off as you're putting it on.
Right. And also at Disney, you don't want to be stuffed. That's another
No.
reason I'm not big on buffets, because you don't want to feel heavy and stuffed and tired when you're at Disney. You want to have energy to go out and do everything that you want to do.
Oh yeah, when you buy a buffet, you feel it. When you order, go to the buffet, you feel like you have to eat at least 2 plates to get your money worth. I don't know why
Right,
that is, but you feel like you have to.
I totally agree. And someone my size is never going to get their money's worth. And I'm talking about height. I'm 5 feet tall, and so there's no way I'm going to get $40 worth of food
Me neither.
from a buffet. So I would rather go to a nice restaurant, like you said, and sit down and have a nice meal. And it might cost the same, but the quality is a little higher.
And you're being waited on, and you
Right.
it feels special to you.
Right.
So and I love Sunshine Seasons. The only thing I was hoping that would change is, I'm hoping with this, with whatever they're doing to Soarin', I'm hoping, because I think they're adding another entrance or whatever, which would be awesome to let people in when they
That would be nice.
get the new. I don't like the crowds around me eating like that.
I agree, because sometimes that line actually goes all the way out into the eating area.
And then you have people just sitting there waiting for their fast passes over there that aren't even eating, that are
Right.
staring at you while you're eating, which,
Right.
am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
I feel like I'm one of the gorillas on the track eating there with everybody watching me. I feel like I'm on display. Brenda laughs at me, but you do. You feel like everybody's watching you because you have everybody upstairs looking down. Now, next time you eat there, you're going to think of me and be mad at me because I'm going to have you feeling like you're a spectacle there.
That's funny.
But it does. I feel like I'm on display. I feel like a silverback gorilla eating my lunch. But I wish there was better seating there, like a different design, something to make it so where people eating can only sit there.
Right.
But I do like there. My favorite, I've said a million times, is Columbia Harbor House. Do you like
That's a big
Columbia?
favorite of ours too. It popped in my mind when you asked me the question. We love sitting upstairs and it's quiet. You can look out the window at Fantasyland. It's just a nice spot. And Brian really enjoys a lot of the offerings there because they have so much seafood.
Oh, I love the lobster rolls.
Oh, really?
Yes, I'm a fan of their lobster roll.
He likes their fried, I think it's a seafood platter. I'm not
Okay.
sure. It's got like shrimp and I
It's a
think
little
shrimp and
combination
fish.
platter.
Right. He really likes that a lot, and he has gotten a lobster roll too, but I think he said for his taste it's got a little too much mayonnaise.
Okay,
Everybody has different
it's hit or
tastes.
miss. Sometimes you get a lot and less, so he might have hit it when it was a lot because my wife don't like a lot of mayonnaise either and she enjoyed it. So maybe he got one that they
Where they
dropped the
were just
ball on.
heavy-handed that day with their
Exactly. He
mayonnaise.
might have been a little bit short on the lobster and a little heavy on the mayonnaise. But
For me,
I
it's more of an environment thing. I just like the quietness upstairs. Their gluten-free options there are not fabulous. I'm not saying they're bad. They're just nothing to write home about. Not very exciting, but it's just a nice quiet respite when you're at Magic Kingdom and all the hustle and bustle.
Well, what I like about it is because my wife also likes the lighthouse sandwich, which is the tuna and all, and it's something light. It's not heavy burgers or fries or hot dogs. It's just something you feel like you're actually eating a little healthier when you eat there.
Yeah, I don't know if I would say that about my choices. They're not as light seeming. I did get a salad one time and it was okay, but I usually get the allergy-free chicken tenders.
Okay.
Now they don't seem deep fried though. I think they're baked or something because they're not greasy at all, but I still wouldn't consider that health
Okay,
food.
yeah. See, that's my dad. My dad got the common. He loves fried shrimp when he was with us, and he would eat it all the time. And he'd go to my wife. I'm eating shrimp. She goes, Dad, they're difficult. They're dipping it in batter, Pop. It's not. You better off eating the hamburger. She'd
Right,
tell.
it's true. It's true. Yeah, what I do to try to split the difference is I always get broccoli for a side instead of fries. I don't know if everyone knows that tip, but you do not have to get fries, even though that's the default. You can ask for broccoli, and you get steamed broccoli on the side. So my thought is at least there's something green, on the plate, so
That's
it's
my
not
wife.
quite as bad.
See, my dad had he had bypass surgery 2 times, and he's no
Oh,
longer with
wow.
us. And that's one of the other reasons why we talked about earlier, like with the drive down. I remember when my dad finally went with us, I got a big, huge minivan, extended minivan and all, and rented that. It was a beautiful Chrysler, and one of those town and countries with all the bells and whistles.
Wow.
And I still had 6 captain chairs in it. We had a blast. But I remember forever, I will remember those 17 hours with my dad and my mother, my stepmother, all of them. I took my mother-in-law, my stepmother, me and my wife rode down together, the 5 of us.
Wow.
And I'll never forget that trip. You can't have that same kind of experience getting on a plane, sitting in the airport. It's family time. We stopped, we ate lunch together, we talked about old times. We were a captive audience for each other for 34 hours. When do you actually get to spend a 40-hour week with somebody, really?
Right. It's true. It's true. We took our nephews and sister-in-law down a few years ago, and we did the same thing. We rented a minivan because our SUV is too small for that many people. And you're right. You just don't get that much sort of non-distracted time together.
It's together time. You're all laughing. Pass the, no, send some fries up here. You got salt, Dad? Blah. You want sugar? I mean, you're stopping for lunch. We ate at Cracker Barrel. We did this. Like, I remember that trip, and that's one of the things I do love about the driving. Plus, having all your luggage with you, like you said.
Yes, I call it lazy packing because I
Yes.
can just take anything I want.
Well, Brenda gets mad at me because I'm actually the girl in the relationship. I pack twice as much as her.
That's funny.
I'm a con. See, I think it's my contractor in me, because at work you never know what you're gonna need. I always have extra clothes in the truck too, because I'm the contractor that don't like to be dirty, if that makes sense.
No, it does.
I can be there's dirty and then there's disgusting, and I know a lot. Just because you have dirt on your clothes don't mean you're disgusting, but I don't like to leave one job where I'm doing ceramic tile and get mortar all over me, and then show up at the next person's house to give them an estimate or do work on their house, looking like I just climbed out of a cement pit.
Right. No, that makes sense.
And I'm the same way at Disney, where I want to have the exact clothes on for the weather that it is that day. I want to make sure I'm not uncomfortable because I don't have the proper shoes or clothes that I want to bring with me.
No, I'm definitely the same way. I usually fill my suitcase and then I put stuff in Brian's suitcase too.
Brent, I do. Brenda cracks up at me because I have 3 suitcases. She has two.
Oh, wow.
But I bring like 4 or 5 pair of sneakers.
Oh, wow. That is a lot of sneakers.
I don't like. I like to. Well, you. I like to have. I don't want to have black sneakers on with a white outfit. If you understand what I'm saying, I want to have my white sneakers on that day. But it
That's
just.
funny.
Or certain times, it's weird. Like certain sneakers, after a while, will hurt your feet,
Well,
depending
and
on how
it's
they're
good to
cut.
rotate. I always bring 2 pair because even if they're the exact same pair, meaning made by the same company, it's actually good to switch every other day, switch the pair of shoes out. It really does make a difference.
It does, because you're wearing on them. Let them get back to condition. But the point is, I like to have a few pair. You spill something on something, I don't want to have to go to the Nike outlet. I want to be able to have another pair. But I just enjoy the ride down with the family. I really do. I enjoy having the extra space. And then if you decide to buy something while you're there, you're not worrying about shipping it home.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I don't like being dependent on the airline schedule.
I don't trust them.
They don't always leave on time.
No.
They don't always get you there on time. It's like I don't want to lose a half a day at Disney because the airline was delayed.
Well, where
Whereas
are
if
you?
we drive down after work the day before, I know first thing in the morning, short of the car breaking down, which I guess could happen, but other than that, I'll be there at Disney first thing in the morning.
See, that's the only thing we usually do different than I think you do, but you're a little closer than us. We rent a car every single time, too.
We've actually started doing that too, simply because both of our cars have so many miles, we don't trust them anymore.
Well,
And so we actually rent a car for each trip, And that way you don't have any stress. If it breaks down, they bring you another
That's
car.
exactly why I did it, because I bought a brand new Chevy pickup years ago, and I didn't even have 6,000 miles on it. The transmission started slipping in Delaware. So I had to turn around, drive home, and then I rented a car. And believe it or not, the transmission went on that when I got in Florida, and then my brother's went. It was a whole ugly story. But
Wow.
anyway, I drove a different car home. But the point is, if it would have been my vehicle down there, I'd have had to take it to the Chevy dealer. I'd have been worried about them fixing it instead of saying, come pick your thing up and give me a new one.
Right,
It's worth the peace
exactly.
of mind. But like where you live, if you're within 5, 6 or 7 hours, 8 hours, I think it takes just as long to fly. I love people that talk about a flight. It's a 2-hour flight. They never discuss. They have to get up 2 hours earlier. Then they go to the airport and sit for 2 hours. Then they get on the plane, get off the plane. All they ever tell you about is the amount of time that's in the air.
And that's assuming it leaves on time, arrives on time. And
Yes.
then once you get to the airport, then you have to wait for the Magical Express unless you're renting a car. And that can take a while. Sometimes it leaves, sometimes you're on the bus and they're waiting to fill it up. Then it's a
Exactly.
30-minute drive to Orlando. And then again, they stop at multiple hotels. So if you're the last hotel getting off the Magical Express, you may be on it for an hour.
I mean, and it is a wonderful people, a wonderful thing for if you want to fly. I love the Disney gives you all that. It's one of the best things, one of the best perks about
Oh,
staying on
definitely.
property.
Yeah.
But for us, I mean, with you, I don't know how far the airport is from your house. What's the airport for, what drive, how long of a drive?
It's only about 20 minutes. We're pretty close.
Okay, so say a half hour each way, and say a half hour there, then by the time you park, get in. By the time you get on the plane and leave, I bet you it's 2, 3 hours, because you got to be there at least an hour in advance.
Oh, definitely.
So
Yeah,
then you got an
definitely.
hour flight down. It takes you about an hour to fly down.
Yeah,
Correct?
I would guess. It's been so many years since we flew,
Yeah.
but I think it's an hour to an hour and a half.
Okay, so now you're at 3 hours, almost 4 hours. By the time you get off the plane, get your luggage, get on, you're talking if everything goes perfect, it's 6 or 7 hours. And
Right.
then you're going to, why not just drive it?
Exactly. Because we can leave after work, get there that night, and what we usually do is stay in an off-site cheap hotel because we're literally just sleeping 8 hours. We're not staying there and we're not doing anything. So just to save a little money, we usually spend that first night off-site. Then we can go first thing in the morning before the parks open to our Disney hotel, check in, and then go to the parks from there. So it just works perfect for us, and we don't lose any time at the parks that we would otherwise be flying, because if we flew, we'd probably have to leave the following day because the flights don't always line up with our work schedule.
Yeah, plus it costs more to fly than renting a car.
Absolutely. It costs a lot more because, it's the times two. So even if you get amazing rates, there's no way to beat the car rates. Plus, my husband gets a big discount on our rental car through his job. And so we're usually paying like I think this next trip we're paying 186 for the rental car for the 8-day trip, whereas if we flew and got the best rate on Southwest, it would probably still be about $400 for two
Exactly.
tickets.
Exactly. And again, I love the rental car because I get to try all different cars.
Yes, and sometimes you get lucky and get like a free upgrade and get a really
Absolutely.
fancy car. We got a Dodge Charger in September and I had never ridden in one
They're beautiful,
before.
aren't they?
Wow, it was a great car.
Yeah,
We
they
were
ride
like,
like a cloud and they have a lot
wish
of
we could
pickup.
afford a car like this. It's a nice car.
Absolutely. We have a, well, it's getting a little older now, but we have an Explorer, and even that, it's a beautiful truck. But driving to Florida, like putting your mother-in-law in the back of that, and I don't know how your sports utility, it's
No,
smooth
they're
up
not the
front,
most smooth
but
ride.
it
No, definitely.
bounces around. It's not comfortable.
Yeah, we have a Jeep Liberty, is very bouncy, and so yeah, for those long drives, it's not, especially in the back seat. The front's not too bad,
No,
but
it's the same
stick
with the
anyone in the
Explorer.
back, it's not comfortable.
Yeah,
Not
much of
for
my
eight
poor
hours.
70-some year 80, now she's 80, mother-in-law, we take her car that we gave her now. We take her out a lot more because it's more comfortable for her. And then, like I said, renting a car is peace of mind. And talking about saving money, I think I spoke to you off the air a little bit about it, but it's thing that I've been doing for a lot of the clients that I've been booking trips for. I've been suggesting, with the way Disney raised the rates, like for now, how weekends are more expensive than weekdays.
Yes.
That used to be a week was a week. It was the same price, whatever. But what I started to do is a lot of split stays. Like I'll check people into Pop Century for 3 or 4 days, let them stay at Pop Century for say Saturday and Sunday, and then check into the other resort Monday through Thursday.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
To save on the peak, I mean the peak for the deluxe and the moderate resort. So you stay the first 2 or 3 days at Pop, save some money, experience that, because Pop is an experience of its own, like we were talking earlier, and then go check in at the Beach Club or Riverside or whatever. You'll save money that way. But I only suggest you go upgrade up. Don't go from one of the better ones.
Don't go the other way. You're right.
Oh, you'll cry. You'll literally cry. So I would suggest you do Pop the first few days or All-Star and then go to one of the Deluxe or Moderates.
Yep.
Before I let you go, favorite ride in each of the parks.
Oh, each of the parks.
I'm going to get you out there.
So I'll start with Magic Kingdom because that has my absolute favorite ride, which is the People Mover.
Oh, you're on board with me and Dee.
Oh, definitely. It is my favorite ride.
We got to have a People Mover party when we're
all
right. down
there. And let's see, Epcot, you know, I think it's Living with the Land, which I know is probably, it's either that or Spaceship Earth. Those would be pretty close tied.
They're both great picks.
I love them. To me, they're sort of what embodies Epcot and sort of classic Disney. I love
them.
Did
you miss Maelstrom?
I actually do. I do. Okay. I'm not against what they're doing crazy about Frozen going in Norway, but I'm fine with them updating it. But yes, I do miss it. I really enjoyed that ride.
Now, did you hear me and Dennis's argument on that? What side do you fall on? Probably Dennis's, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know which way I would say I fall. I don't know if I'm as extreme to either end, you know, meaning I think it's good to update. I just wish they were updating minus Frozen. You know, I wish it was staying true to Norway.
I guess,
but the flip side of that is Epcot does need something for children, more things for children, and it also needs some things to take the load off Soarin' and Test Track, and I
exactly.
think
that's been
because
my argument.
Frozen's so popular, so I guess I'm kind of waffling about it, but I do miss Maelstrom.
The thing of it is I miss it too because it was a classic, but I'm not like Denny is. Denny cries every time he walks by. So does Bob Saikon. And
yeah,
I get it because he has family memories. Like, Bob has kid memories with his son-in-law loving it. So
Which
I get it.
I totally get that. And see, I don't have personal kid memories, and I don't have kids that I have memories with either. So yeah. I don't have that attachment. I just thought it was neat because it was sort of a quirky old Disney ride, and that made it fun. It was unique.
Yeah, and I agree, and I'm going to miss it. I had some fun. One of my best times was scaring my sister-in-law. Don't like any scary rides. And we talked her into going on this because she won't go on Splash or anything like that. She loves everything. Peter Pan's like the most crazy thing she's going to go on. So, you know, and maybe Soarin'. But the point of it is like, we get her on this because everybody's telling her it's okay. It's going to be fine, Laura. Well, we start going up on the mountain. When they bring you up, I start laying into her saying, wait till you get this drop. And she's really believing it. Like, the tears are starting to come to her eyes.
Oh, that's not nice.
My brother's getting mad at me for doing it. But he's going along because he's my older brother. He's 10 years older than me. We call him – he's Don Mader. His hero's Larry the Cable Guy. You know, he's that kind of blue-collar dude. So he's feeling bad for her, but he can't give it up because he loves the – prank more than he feels bad. So he's going along with it but feeling bad. When we got to the top, she's screaming and everybody's looking at her like, why is this lady screaming? Because we do like a, you know, the 2-inch drop,
right?
But that's one of the family memories, and that's one of the reasons I'll miss it.
Yeah,
but I do totally believe that Disney's not going to do it to where it really stands out. It's not going to look like a Fantasyland ride. I think they're going to make it go with the whole landscape of what Epcot is.
Well, and I've seen pictures from across the water of the building, and it looks pretty impressive. The sort of Arendelle, you know, style building that they've built for it. So it looks really nice.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to be twinkle twinkle like the new Fantasyland. You understand what I'm saying? They're not going to go over the top like that. They're not going to. Disney never put the square peg in a round hole. Usually.
Right. Right.
You know, so it ain't going to have the Fantasyland in tomorrow. It's going to fit in with what World Showcase is all about. And the reason I'm happy about it is because, like I said a million times on the show, I didn't like the old Fantasyland. Me and Brenda would do everything we possibly could to avoid it. Now that they've made it both family, kid and adult friendly over there, do you agree with that? Did you used to avoid it too, Carm, like we did with the kids that were over there, being that you don't have kids?
We didn't spend a lot of time in Toontown, but I did spend a lot of time on the other parts of Fantasyland because I love the old classic Disney movies. So I actually loved Snow White's Scary Adventure, which is no more, which that does make me sad.
Okay.
That makes me sadder than Maelstrom, to be honest. I love that ride. And so, because that's one of the movies I grew up with. So we did actually spend a good bit of time, but not in Toontown. We tended to avoid Toontown, but the rest of Fantasyland, we definitely like Peter Pan, Snow White, that kind of stuff.
Like me and Brent would sneak in, do Winnie the Pooh. So we would do the rides, but we couldn't wait to get out of the claustrophobia of it.
Yeah.
It was like with all the strollers and everything else, it was like you were in a minefield over there. You couldn't, you couldn't wait to get out. Even though you loved it, it was like so overwhelming with crowds.
Right.
The way they designed the new, it's more inviting for adults to hang out in that area.
Definitely. I think it's more inviting for anyone. It's much more beautiful. They have a lot more plant life, which really adds to it, especially the landscaping they did around Beast Castle with
Exactly.
the pine trees. It makes you look like more you're in France instead of in Florida. I
And it
think they
makes
did
the
a really
regular
good
castle
job.
fit in better. Everything
Definitely.
goes, and there's areas to sneak around. Like you can leave and go out the back entrance and go back around behind Tomorrowland and all.
Yep.
It's just so much better. And that's what I think. If they do add some of these rides to Epcot, I think it's going to be make it more family friendly.
I agree. Epcot is definitely lacking things for children. When we took my nephews, one of them was young enough to still enjoy, rides for kids, and he was really bored in Epcot. He loved the Grand Fiesta Tour, and that was about it. And so that's the good thing, I think, is adding another ride that will appeal to children and that it's in World Showcase. While it may not be the best fit, it gives them something to do while they're in World Showcase instead of it just being attractions in Futureland.
Well, hopefully Disney makes goes over like they bought Castaway Cay and they go to an area in Norway and just make it Arendelle so people can stop crying that it's not an actual city. Because
That'll
that's the
solve that
biggest,
problem.
yeah, that's the biggest gripe that it's not actually a part. If there was an Arendelle, there would be no argument here. But being
Right.
there's no Arendelle, everybody's off the reservation for yelling and screaming about that there's no Arendelle for Norway. So that's the whole problem of it. Now to continue, Animal Kingdom Studios.
All right, Studios is Tower of Terror, back to the theming that we talked about before, and I do love the fact that it's so smooth. They have other great attractions there, don't get me wrong, like we talked about the Great Movie Ride, but I think Tower of Terror is just sort of a one of a kind. I can't think of anything that really compares, and I do not care for drop towers. And I'm talking about just in general, but it's got a unique pull system that makes it feel different than any other ride I've been on. I really like it.
Because it's all controlled. There's no, you're actually not dropping. It's pulling you down and
Pulling,
push
exactly. And I love the randomization.
and pushing you back up. It's not like
Right.
there used to be one at Great Adventure called Free Fall. You actually feel like you're falling.
Right.
You
Right.
know.
Most of the big theme parks, non-Disney ones, have a big drop tower, and I've done them, and they're okay, but that doesn't really do anything for me. To me, it's the total experience of Tower of Terror is great. And let's see, Animal Kingdom. That is a hard one for me. I really enjoy Dinosaur from the ride and the animatronics, but it's a little too rough. I've heard you talk about that. Once per trip is good for me because it's sort of hard on the body. Everest again has great theming, but
But the queue is better than a ride to me.
I agree. It's not the greatest coaster. It's okay. I mean, I don't love
Do
it,
you
but so.
agree with my spiel? And I know I'm sorry, people, if you can tune out for 10 minutes because I've done this so many times. But don't you agree they should have did something a little like Splash Mountain, where you see part of a show before you get dropped? Wouldn't it have been nice if it told a story where you
Absolutely.
slowly climb the mountain and you see things going on, animatronics, you ride through, and then all of a sudden you do the drop?
Absolutely. I would much more enjoy that ride if it had better theming on the ride. I know the queue has great theming, but if there was more going on the ride, I totally agree with you on that because I know it's thrilling for some people. Like, I got a friend of mine on it one time and she was terrified. So some people find it thrilling. I do not. I do not find that a thrilling coaster. So if it had more animatronics, theming, a story going on while you're on the ride, I would definitely enjoy it a lot more. So I don't know. Those are sort of the two big, I guess, rides. I know there's a lot of other attractions, like we talked about Flights of Wonder and the Safari, but I'm probably going to have to go with Dinosaur, even though it's a bit painful. I think that's probably my favorite attraction there.
Yeah, make sure every time you go on it, you wait and get a front seat.
Yes, I heard you talk about that, and I totally agree. It's actually one of our vlogs. I think it was from back in April. I said to our friend and Brian, I said, I think the back's a lot rougher. And they were like, oh, I can't tell a difference. And so I thought it was just me, but then I heard you talking about it, and I said, see, it's not just me.
It is because it's like a bucking bronco. You're on the back of
Exactly.
it.
I totally agree.
There's no way that it's not. It's just because it's the force of the car. But to end the show, I just got to go one last name, favorite resort.
Boardwalk.
Boardwalk.
Absolutely. We stayed there for the first time in
I see
April.
you took your friend with you.
Yes. And
And I laughed
we'd
because
never
she got
really.
her room before you did.
Yeah. Which was great, though, because we could offload all the luggage in that
Had
one
a
room
beautiful
since we were
view.
staying next door. Awesome view. We'll probably never get such a great view again. I don't mean to be negative, but we lucked out. Being able to see illuminations every night was just fantastic. But I love several things about it. I love the theming. I love the, because I like the retro feel, and everything's got that sort of classy, I guess, 20s, I don't know if it's 20s, 30s, 40s feel to it. And I like the proximity to Epcot is probably the number one aspect. But we just stayed at Beach Club in October, and I didn't like it anywhere near as much as I did Boardwalk. And I know I'm going against the grain on that. Most people love Beach Club.
I agree with you.
We couldn't get Boardwalk, so we went to Beach Club, and we were so disappointed compared to Boardwalk. We really love it. So we've actually got two trips next year booked back at Boardwalk because we enjoyed it so much.
Well, the thing is with the, and again, and I got in trouble with this, and our one of our great listeners, Judith, I appreciate you so much, and I love you listening to the show. Thank you. And I was only kidding because I said on the show about how the Grand Floridian makes me feel out of place, and I have nothing. The cast members are great. Everybody there has always been good to me. I just don't feel like I belong there. And I go to the Yacht and Beach Club all the time. Me and Brenda eat there a lot. We'll go there and then we go into Epcot. You know what I'm saying? But when I'm walking through there, I feel like I'm the oddball in the place. And there's nothing wrong with me. I'm always dressed nice. I think I'm halfway decent for a 48-year-old man. I'm okay, but I just don't feel comfortable there. I don't feel like I
Right.
belong.
No, I don't, I know what you're saying, and I didn't feel that it was that stuffy or anything. I just
No.
felt like the theming was bland, but and I think part of it is we go to the beach all the time because we're so close. And so I'm sure if you live in, say, Midland, USA, a beach theme is awesome. You know what I mean? It's something unique. But for us, it's pretty commonplace. And then, as I mentioned, we're not pool people. And I know they have one of the best pools on property. We
Oh.
didn't use it once because we're not pool people. So I feel like for us, Boardwalk is a much better fit. It may be our age. It may be our lack of kids. It may be that we're not crazy about the pool. I don't know what it is. But for us, it's just a much better fit. And to me, it doesn't feel stuffy at all, even though it's an elegant, style, the building and everything. It's more festive and fun. The boardwalk's so active and has so many things going on at night. You've got the magicians and the street actors, and I just love the whole atmosphere. I think it's a lot of fun.
Oh, it's absolutely gorgeous. I love that whole area. We've stayed there, but we stayed at the, believe it or not, the one of the best views I ever had was when we stayed at the Swan and Dolphin, and we got a junior suite.
Oh,
And
nice.
we actually could see the Tower of Terror right from our room.
Wow.
And that was awesome when Fantasmic was going off and all.
Oh, I
So
bet.
but yeah, every night I would go to sleep and I'd say night night tower, and my wife would just go, come to bed, you idiot. She's like, where are you going? Because I'd open up the blinds, I say, I gotta say goodnight to the Tower of Terror, and she'd laugh. But it was just nice to be able to say goodnight to the Tower of Terror every night. It was a
No, I
beautiful view.
totally get it because we loved walking out on that balcony to watch illuminations every night. That was just so awesome because we of course couldn't see the ball and that part in the middle where they, do the fire and the ball. We couldn't see that, but we could see all of the fireworks. And so it was really an awesome view. And now that I mention it, that's another huge plus at Boardwalk over Beach Club for us. You're guaranteed to get a balcony at Boardwalk. At Beach Club, we did not get a balcony even though we requested one.
Oh,
Because
okay.
only two of the floors have balconies and the others don't. And so that's another big deal to us. We love sitting on the balcony and just in taking everything in.
Absolutely. I'm sure Brian loves that. Lets him take a
Definitely.
load off.
He's huge on the balcony for sure.
And I've heard you mention, and I agree, because the pool scares me. Me and Bren, the first time we went in there was we were staying at the Swan and Dolphin for the first time. I've stayed there a few times. Have you ever stayed at the Swan and Dolphin?
No, I haven't. We've been in the lobbies. We just walked over there when we were staying at the boardwalk just to check it out, but we haven't stayed there.
They have some really, if you want to go down on a last minute trip, or like what people don't realize is the Swan and Dolphins off season is the totally opposite of Disney's. So
Wow.
you get some better rates in the summertime there than you do at the other hotels because they're a convention hotel. They're
Wow.
more expensive during the wintertime.
Now that's interesting. That's good to know. That's a great tip.
Yeah, so try them sometimes during late summer or during summer, and you might get a deal over there because there's not conventions going on during the summer there as much as during the wintertime for business. They're a business hotel. But the rooms are very nice. The difference is you get different cable, TV, you get different things that you do at a Disney resort. But the food, the restaurant, Tony's Blue Zone, Todd & Shula's Steakhouse, they have some really good restaurants in there. But the rates are very good. Like, we stayed there a couple times for like $127 a night.
Wow, that's fantastic. That's cheaper than a value in peak season.
Exactly. So there's, and I'm not saying you're going to get it now, but we've stayed there. The couple times we stayed there has been under 130, 140 a night,
Wow,
which
that's
is
a great
awesome.
tip. Yeah.
So if you get a chance, call there. You never know what they're going to offer. And the then the and the proximity's all, the proximity's the same as the Boardwalk and the Yacht and Beach Club. So,
Right, yeah, it's definitely a fantastic location.
but we strolled over there and walked into the pool, and it was nighttime, and clown freaked me out.
Now, see, we were right next to the quiet pool, which is the one without the clown. We actually went to the clown pool. We walked over just to look at it, but it was so much further from our room. Our room was on the Epcot side, so we were right next to the quiet pool, and it was great because we would go there in the evening and like around 7, 8 o'clock at night, and it would be completely deserted, so we would literally have the pool to ourselves, which was nice.
Well, go over there one night before we let go. Go over there with Brian late at night. Make him walk over there and let him go in first and then scare him. And I'm telling you, he'll freak out. When the pool's closed, if you walk in there like we did with just the vague lighting going on back there, you feel like the clown's going to get you.
It is a creepy clown. I have to agree with you. It's a strange slide for sure.
Yeah, he got me. But I just have to say, Carmen, it was wonderful doing the show with you, and you're invited back anytime you want to come on. I really appreciate you doing the show with me.
Thanks, Doug. I really appreciate you having me on. It's been great.
Well, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you.
All right. Well, if you don't know already, we have a vlog on YouTube called The Adventures of Peas and Carrots. You can either type the URL in, which is youtube.com/TheAdventuresOfP&C, or you can just go to YouTube and search for The Adventures of Peas and Carrots, and we will pop up. We basically put out a new Disney vlog every week on Wednesday. We also tend to put bonus vlogs out on Friday. Sometimes they're Disney. Actually, most of the time they're Disney. Sometimes they're other theme parks. We do go to Carowinds and Busch Gardens, Virginia occasionally. And so we'll throw those in on Friday.
You
But
even
every.
did 4th of July at Myrtle Beach, didn't you?
Yes, we sure did. We
There
yes,
you
so there's
go.
some Myrtle Beach in there as
The
well.
Grand
Well,
Strand, baby.
but every Wednesday is always Disney. We're consistent with that. And so it's basically our trip vlog. So these are sort of like our family vacation videos. We're just sharing them with everybody else. So they're not meant to be a news show or a program. They're just us having fun at Disney.
You just have a great time. I will, you show different food that you eat. You take pictures of it and all. I'm sure Brian loves that. You're making him wait to eat, but
That's right. That's right. I always like if he starts eating before I film, I'm like, stop, stop, stop. I've
I
got to
want to take
film
a picture. I do the same thing
that.
to Brenda. We're at
He's a
the
great sport, though. He really is
So's
about
Brenda.
all of it.
We were at Rose and Crown Pub, but Don is going to eat her sister-in-law, my sister-in-law. We took her down. Stop. Pictures first. Pictures at the table first. That was over at the Spice Road tables. But how can they reach you on Twitter?
On Twitter, I'm Peas and Carrots with the number 3 at the end. So Peas and Carrots 3. And that's because there were other peas and carrots, of course. So that's how you find me on Twitter. And then we do have Facebook and Instagram, but we're not as active on those. But if you'd prefer to follow us there, you can basically go to any of our videos, and in the show notes, we list all of our social media contacts. So that's probably the best way to figure out where we're at. But I'm very active on Twitter, so that's a really good place if you ever want to talk to me.
All right, well, you did a wonderful job. It was great having you on. The Main Street Pub's always open for you, and I'm buying, so don't worry about it. And
Oh,
leaving the
thanks,
tip.
Doug.
All right. Thanks, Carm. It's been wonderful, and I will talk to you soon. Well, that's going to be it, guys. The Main Street Pub is closed. I'm going to hop off my stool, pay my tab. Please head over to iTunes and leave me a review. Also, follow me on Facebook and Twitter at WDW Main Street. And please don't forget our fine sponsors. If you need a home in the Central Florida area, contact Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. If you need me to book your next Disney World vacation, contact me at American Tourist Travel, 856-227-9200. And last but not least, our good friends over at David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Yacht Club, the Beach Club, Saratoga Springs, any of the DVC resorts, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And go check us out over at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. Thank you and have a great week. Bye-bye.